Good morning, church. So wonderful to have everybody here today. Welcome. Those of you who are joining us online, thank you for joining us today as well. Church, go ahead and begin by opening to James chapter 5. So we're going to be flipping around quite a bit today, but go ahead and begin in James chapter 5. So confession time. This was a very difficult message to write because I found myself having to repent like every 5 or 10 minutes into writing the message. So very difficult message that we're going over today because we're talking about complaining. I know. The people that I've already talked to about this is what the message is today, I've noticed that some of them are conveniently absent. Oh, so we started last week, we started a new series for the month of November with it being the Thanksgiving season. We started a new series on gratitude. And last week we talked about how it is the will of God that we are what? That we are thankful. God's word says it is the will of God in Christ Jesus that you are thankful in all circumstances. And we talked about that last week. We talked about how being grateful, living with gratitude, living with thanksgiving, it's actually what? It's kind of reciprocating the very grace of God that he has poured out into our lives. So it's not really a matter of just saying thank you. It's not a matter of just feeling thankful. It's a matter of actually continually living a life of gratitude based upon the grace of God that he has poured out into our life. And that grace, we know from Scripture, we know as believers, that grace is something that is never ending. It is constant. It is continuous, as our gratitude is meant to be. But there's an enemy to gratitude because it's right up there. I wrote it out just so you could all see it because I was pretty proud of myself of coming up with that. The enemy of gratitude is complaining. Enemy of gratitude is complaining. And see, here's the ironic part about it. We all know people who are grateful. We know people who live that life of gratitude. They're so grateful. They're so humble. And guess what? We enjoy being around those people, don't we? Those are people that you want to be around because they're encouraging. They naturally just kind of lift you up, even when you don't feel very grateful. But complaining, on the other hand, there's an ironic thing about complaining. Nobody wants to be around a person who is constantly complaining. And we all know who that person is. We all know somebody in our life who, no matter what, they're going to find something to complain about. Do not look at your spouse. Stop looking at your spouse. I didn't catch everybody. There were some people looking at their spouse when I said that. But we know those people. We those people who just complain about every little thing. And guess what? We don't like to be around that person. We don't like to hear it. So when we're around somebody that's complaining, what do? We look for a way to get out of the conversation, or we look for a way to change the subject so that hopefully we don't have to continue listening to them complain. But the ironic thing about it is while we don't like being around people who complain, we love to complain. We do. We in our very flesh, in our bones, what do we love to do? We love to complain. We love to complain about things. And sometimes if it's been a while, just look for something to complain about. I've done that before. But like, it's been a while. I've been too positive lately. Let me be negative. And I'll find something to be negative about, and I'll find something to just complain about. Like most recently, you know, the Panthers signed Cam Newton. I had a lot of opinions. I had lots of opinions. David Tepper, if you're watching this for some reason, I have opinions. You should give me a call. But you see, that's the ironic thing about it. We love to complain. Why? Because we feel justified in our complaining. We feel like what we want to complain about, it needs to be said. It has to be said because it's my perspective on it. It's how I feel about it. And what I feel about it is right. So I have to complain about it so that everybody else sees from my perspective why this is bad. But Scripture says that we are to live a life of gratitude. And it's very important that we understand this, church. It is impossible to live a life of gratitude while also living a life with a complaint of spirit. They don't go together. They can't go together because they are polar opposites of one another. So join me in James chapter 5. We're going to begin in James chapter 5. Just look at verse 9. Verse 9, James says, "Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." So James, this isn't really a beginning. He's actually kind of referring back. If you read through James's letter, he's kind of speaking to the believers throughout Asia Minor, and he's speaking to them, and he's kind of addressing certain issues. Chapter 3, he talks about taming of the tongue. He talks about wisdom from above. Chapter 4, he begins to talk about worldliness and worldliness amongst the believers, worldliness amongst the church. And he calls it adultery. He calls it to be cheating on your relationship with the Lord, to love the world, to seek friendship with the world. It's to do what? It's to push away our relationship with the Lord. It's to literally cause spiritual adultery in our relationship with the Lord. And James talks about that in chapter 4. And all of this has inevitably led to conflict. It's led to conflict within the churches. It's led to conflict amongst the believers. And where there is conflict, there is what? There's complaining. Anytime there is conflict, there is complaining. And in this particular instance, there is complaining amongst the believers. And so James addresses it, and he addresses it very simply and very directly. He says, "Do not grumble." Grumble means to complain. It means to bicker. It means to yell at. It means to condemn. So do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. So what are the implications here? The implication is that to complain is to sin. And we actually see that throughout Scripture, not just here. But God's word is very clear. To complain is to sin. In all circumstances. It does not matter what you're complaining about. It does not matter the reasons why you're complaining about it. To complain is to sin. I see your look right there, Sherry. She's not happy about this. She's just like, yes, to complain is to sin. Why is to complain to sin? Because it's the opposite of what we're called to do. We're called to live in thanksgiving. We're called to live in gratitude. We're not doing that if we live with a complaintive spirit. So he says, "Do not complain lest you be judged." Because complaining means what? It means you will be judged. And he says, the judge is standing at the door. Now, in your Bible, hopefully the word judge there is capitalized. Is it capitalized? If it's not capitalized, get a better translation. The word should be capitalized because the judge is actually the title. It's the reference to Jesus. Jesus is judge. Why is Jesus judge? Because he's been given that power. He's been given that authority. He's been given that position by the Father. So it's Jesus' job to judge. And he will judge complaintive spirits. And I love the way that James says this. He says, the judge is standing at the door. Meaning what? Meaning he's watching. He's listening. He's aware of absolutely everything. He's just waiting for the time to come back and to cast the judgment that is needed. It paints a very particular image in my own mind. See, when I was a kid, my parents would do this. And they would typically do this whenever I had friends over because, you know, being a young man, 8, 9, 10 years old, I would do things that probably weren't good things that my parents may or may not definitely did tell me not to do. And one of those things was whenever I had friends over, we would kind of barricade ourselves into my bedroom. And you remember those big, like, super balls, those big bouncy balls where if you threw it as hard as you could, they just kind of like go sky high. Those things were awesome, weren't they? Love those things. So I had like a huge bucket of these super balls. And what we would do is we would kind of build little forts. We'd build forts with like pillows and blankets and all this kind of stuff. And we would kind of separate one team on this side, one team on that side. And we would just chuck these things at each other as hard as we could. Now, before you judge me, there was a reason for this. Number one, we're working on our arm strength. It's a very important thing to be working on as a young man. Number two, we're working on our reflexes because you got to be able to dodge out of the way, Matrix style, when the Super Ball is coming at you, and when it bounces off the wall, you got to dodge again because if it hits you at any point, you're out. It's very important. So, one day, I'm playing this game, and it's just me and one other friend. My friend Johnny is over at the house. And I know it sounds like I'm making up the name. I'm not. His name really was Johnny. So, Johnny was over at the house, and so we build our forts, and we start chucking these balls at each other. And my mom hears what's going on. She comes in. She says, "Stop throwing the balls at each other." I said, "Okay, Mom. Yes, Mom. We'll stop." And then what does she do? She leaves. Like, we're not just going to start up again. So she leaves and closes the door behind her. So we start up again. And then she comes back in and she opens the door. She says, "I thought I told you to stop throwing the balls now." So "You're right. Sorry, Mom. We forgot." We forgot. So she leaves again. And this time, as soon as the door closes, I pick up another ball because I'm going to catch him unawares, you know? So I rear back and I'm getting ready to throw it. And then Mom bursts back into the room and says, "I told you to stop throwing the balls in the house." And it scared me. And so I'm like right here, like coming through on my follow through. So I just kind of like look, and I'm like, "Ah!" And I let the ball go. And my friend wasn't paying attention. So he's looking at my mom. The ball is going across the room and I see it in slow motion. It's just traveling. And it hits him in the head, which on the one hand, great shot, right? On the other hand, since it's a bouncy ball, it bounces off of his head, and I see it traveling, again, in slower motion. And it goes right through the bedroom window. I know. My thoughts exactly. Ball goes right through the bedroom window, and I'm left there just kind of like, "Ah!" And then, of course, Mom gets absolutely furious and yells at me and punishes me because I was a disobedient little kid and I probably deserved it. I mean, I did break a window. Although I maintain it was only half my fault because it was his head that led to the breaking of the window. But that's what's being described here by James. Jesus is right there. There's absolutely nothing that is getting by him. He's aware of it all. He's aware of every word. He's aware of every thought. He's aware of absolutely everything, and we will be judged for everything. So be aware. But there's an implication here, and this is what I want us to kind of focus on here, church. There's a choice to be made. Because notice what he says. He says, "Do not grumble against one another." The implication here being, you have a choice. You can choose whether to complain or whether to not complain. Now, let's go back to gratitude for just a moment, okay? Gratitude, we talked about it last week. Understand, there's a lot of things in life that we like to classify as emotions. And we like to classify them as those things because we like to tell ourselves that emotions are those things that cannot be controlled. They're outside of our control. They just kind of happen. And so there's nothing that we can really do about it. We just kind of have to ride the wave. And eventually, things will just kind of settle down and work out. Well, here's the thing. There's a lot of things we classify as emotion that aren't. Take gratitude. We classify gratitude as what? As an emotion. Because it's something that you're supposed to feel. You're supposed to feel grateful. For what? When you receive something that was unexpected, receive something that was undeserved, you're supposed to feel grateful. You're supposed to feel gratitude for that. So it's an emotion. But it's not. Biblically, gratitude is a choice. It's a choice that we make to live in the grace of God. It's a choice that we make to reciprocate and to show the grace of God as it is poured out into our life on a daily basis. We're supposed to be choosing to live in gratitude. Now, the opposite is also true. Now, obviously, we would all agree complaining is a choice. It's a choice that you're making. You're choosing to do that. Based on what? Based on an emotion. You have some sort of emotional response to something, and then if it's negative, your response is to complain about it. And we tell ourselves that it's okay. We tell ourselves it's okay Because, you know what, I was just really mad at the time. I was really upset at the time. And I just said it. And you know what? It's done. It's over. Let's move on. But James just talked about in chapter 3, taming of the tongue. You see, we have a choice to make, church. And the choice is this. Either we are going to choose to live a life of thanksgiving. Either we're going to choose to live a life of gratitude for the grace of God that has been shown in our life, or we will choose to complain. We'll choose to sate our sinful desire to complain, and we'll do it, and we'll justify it, and we'll rationalize it any way that we have to, because we just desperately want to be able to do that. But the choice is still there. And we can tell ourselves that it's all emotional and we can't really control it. But the truth is, that's not right. Gratitude's not an emotion. Gratitude's a choice. Complaining is not an emotion. Complaining is a choice. So what is our choice going to be? I hope and pray that we make the right choice, because if we do not, then we have to deal with God's response to complaining. Flip over to Numbers real quick, Numbers chapter 11. There should be a little bit of a scary passage for us. Because if we complain, this is how much God enjoys a complaintive spirit. Look at Numbers 11, starting in verse 1. And the people complained. Imagine that. The people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some outlying parts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So the name of that place was called Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. So let that be a lesson to all of us. If you complain, God will set you on fire. You laugh, but wait till it happens. But no, seriously. So the people are complaining in the hearing of the Lord. And you know what? Notice what they're complaining about. The Bible is not actually specific about what they're complaining about. It doesn't say they're complaining about the food. It doesn't say they're complaining about the sleeping arrangements. It doesn't say they're complaining about the lack of water. It doesn't say any of that. It just says they're complaining about their misfortunes. Which tells us two things. Number one, it tells us that the thing that they're complaining about really doesn't matter. Because they're still complaining. They're still choosing to do something that is not honoring to the Lord. They're still choosing to do something that does not glorify the Lord, that does not honor the Lord. And so God gets a little bit upset with them. But then also, because it just says misfortunes, it's actually very easy, I think, for us to kind of relate to that. Because, I mean, let's be honest, who among us here has never complained about some sort of misfortune that we've experienced in life? We've all done that. Whether it's something big, whether it's something small, whether it was something expected or unexpected, we've all complained about our misfortunes in some way, shape, or form. So it's very easy for us to kind of empathize with the Israelites here. I mean, come on, they've got it hard. They're living out in the wilderness. They're surviving just on bread. Granted, it's bread from heaven, which is pretty cool. But they're surviving just on bread and water. There's not a Mountain Dew in sight. So of course they're upset. Of course they're complaining a little bit. And you may look at this and think, you know what? I think God's overreacting a little bit. Like they're complaining, and I'm sure God doesn't like that, but I mean, he set them on fire. Isn't that like a little bit of overkill? Well, first of all, shame on you for thinking you know better than God. Second of all, it's not overkill, because let's think about this for a minute. Number one, this is not the first time. This is not the first time that the people of Israel have complained. In fact, if you read through the wilderness account, you'll find that complaining was about the only thing they did with any consistency. They complained about everything, any chance they got. But second of all, remember, let's go back to what we just said. Gratitude is a choice. Gratitude is a choice. Complaining is a choice. When we choose gratitude, what are we choosing? We are choosing to celebrate and to reciprocate the grace of God in our life. The grace of God that is never ceasing. The grace of God that is greater than anything else. Now, what the people of Israel have done, they've chosen to complain. Which means that they have not chosen to be grateful. They have chosen not to be grateful for the grace of God that he has shown them time and time and time again. Because they've chosen to complain. Now understand, when we choose to complain over choosing to be grateful, what we are actually doing is we are rejecting the grace of God that he has shown in our life. We are saying that the negative, this thing over here, this is so much greater, this is so much worse than any good thing that God has ever done. Any grace that God has ever shown me, it pales in comparison to this thing right here that I must complain about. That's what Israel has done. They have chosen to reject the grace of God that has been shown in their lives in order to complain about their misfortunes. Now think about this. There is an unlimited number of things for Israel to be grateful for. Think about the things that God has done to get them to this point. Remember, he sent the 10 plagues upon Egypt. He kept Israel safe throughout those 10 plagues. He made it to where Pharaoh said, okay, the people can leave. And so the people leave. And they do what? They get to the Red Sea. And the Egyptians say, you know what? We want them back. So they go after them. They get to the Red Sea. And what does God do? He parts the Red Sea. He parts the Red Sea, leads the people across to safety, and then has the water crash back in upon the Egyptians. While they're in the wilderness, what does God do? He provides manna from heaven to make sure that the people are fed. He provides an oasis in the desert to make sure that they have water. During the day, he leads them as a cloud in the sky, and at night, he leads them as a pillar of fire, actually physically manifesting himself in front of the whole nation. God has been pouring out his grace upon Israel. And yet, they look past all of it. To instead of living in gratitude for what God has done, for what God continues to do, they choose to complain. And about what? Doesn't really matter, because whatever they're complaining about still pales in comparison to the goodness and the grace of God. Now understand this, church. That is why God was angry, and that is why he judged Israel in the way that he did. Now let's ask ourselves this question. Is God any less angered when we ourselves complain? You might say, well, Pastor, it's different. I mean, God did an awful lot for Israel. There was an awful lot for them to be grateful for. Yeah, there sure was. We have even more. There's even more for the church to be grateful for. Why? Because we know what Israel didn't. We know Jesus. We have what Israel didn't. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. We have it so much better than Israel did. And yet they still had so much to be thankful for. They still had so much to be grateful to the Lord for. They still experienced so much of God's grace. We've experienced even more. And yet we still choose to complain. And when we choose to complain, all that we're doing is rejecting the grace of God that has been shown to us. And when we look at it from that perspective and we understand it from that perspective, it's not really difficult to know why God was so angry at the constant complaining. Because it's more than just being upset. It's more than just being angry. It's more than just saying something about a negative situation. It's choosing to live a certain way. It's choosing to live in a way that is contrary to what God has called us to do. It's choosing to live in a way that says, God, your grace wasn't good enough. So if we are to live in gratitude and we choose daily to walk and to live in the grace of God, and the truth is, there's actually never any need for complaining because God's grace is greater. His grace is greater. His grace is stronger. His grace is bigger than anything else. But when we choose to complain, we're saying that that's not true. We're saying his grace is not enough. We're saying his grace is not sufficient. Because this over here is so much bigger than the grace of God that he has shown me. If we are to live lives of gratitude, if we're to get past the complaining and to live as the Lord has called us to live, then we have to look beyond the temporal. We have to look beyond our circumstances and do what? Focus upon the Lord. Flip over to Exodus chapter 16. So this particular passage takes place right after the crossing of the Red Sea. Israel has gone through the desert. They have made it to the Red Sea. God has parted the Red Sea. They've gone across the Red Sea. They sang praises and worshiped the Lord for leading them across the Red Sea. And now immediately on the heels of that, pick up in chapter 16, verse 2. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled. They grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening, you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, I'll just stop right there. So even after witnessing one of the coolest miracles that God has ever done, parting an entire sea, they get across the sea and their response is to complain. Their response is to grumble and to complain because they're hungry, because there's no food. Now, we have the benefit of looking at this and saying, that was stupid. They shouldn't have complained. They shouldn't have grumbled, because obviously God was going to take care of them. Obviously God was going to make sure that they were taken care of. Obviously God was going to make sure that they were fed, because I mean, think about it. He just did all of that stuff. He just did the 10 plagues on Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. He led them across the sea. Obviously he didn't do all of that just to let them starve to death in the desert. Come on, there's more at work here than that. We can look at that and say, well, obviously that's what's going to happen. But let's put ourselves in our own circumstances when things are not going the way that we want, when things are not going the way that we had planned. What do we typically end up doing? We end up complaining about the circumstance. We end up complaining that it didn't go the way that I wanted. It's not going the way that I had planned. It should be better. It should be different. this person should have done that. This person should have done this. If things had gone like this, then I wouldn't be in this mess right now. We love to fall back on the complaining. And when we fall back on the complaining, the only thing that we're doing is we're focused on the temporal. We're focused on the situation. We're focused on the person. We're focused on the problem that is temporary. It's not going to last for eternity. In fact, most of the time, that particular thing that we're complaining about will be gone within a day. But even if it's not, so what? It's still temporal. It's not eternal. You see, that right there is the foundational problem of complaining, is that we don't actually focus upon the one who is eternal. We focus on the thing that is temporal. And when we focus on the thing that is temporal, of course we end up complaining about it. Because when we're focused on that, nothing else exists. When we're focused on that, nothing else matters. When we're focused on that, nothing else can actually solve anything, because there's just this one thing right in front of us. And that's exactly what Israel is doing. Rather than looking beyond the temporary fact that there's no food and looking to the one who could provide the food, what do? They complain against Moses and Aaron, like it's somehow Moses' and Aaron's fault that there's no food. Like they hoarded all the food in their tent and now they're just keeping it from everybody. They're complaining against Moses and Aaron. And then the Lord says, yeah, I'm like 5 minutes away from dropping some bread from heaven, so could you tell them to just stop? Moses goes out. And notice how Moses speaks to the people. What does he say to the people? At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he's heard your grumbling against who? He's heard your grumbling against the Lord. Now you go back up. Verse 2, it says the whole congregation of people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. So the people are grumbling against Moses and Aaron, but what does Moses point out? He says, no, you're not really complaining about me. You're complaining about God. Because, let's be honest, what power did Moses and Aaron have to make sure that there was food for that many people? It wasn't up to Moses and Aaron. It was always up to the Lord. It wasn't Moses and Aaron who led the people out of Egypt. It was the Lord. Church, all complaints are against the Lord. It doesn't matter what you're complaining about or why. You can be complaining about your spouse. You can be complaining about a coworker. You can be complaining about your food. You can be complaining about your house. You can be complaining about anything and everything. But at the end of the day, what you're really doing is you're complaining against the Lord. Why would I say that? Because the same truth that is evident in this passage is the same truth that is echoed throughout all of Scripture. It's the same truth that I preached about last week. It's the same truth that the entire universe is built upon. God is in control of everything. God is in control of absolutely everything. So to complain about anything is to complain against the Lord. And Moses points that out to Israel here. He says, you're complaining against God because ultimately you don't actually trust that God is in control. And so you're complaining about the current circumstance because you don't believe that God can work in the current circumstance. Now I want you to think about this for a moment. When you're complaining about that person, about that situation, whatever the case may be, when you're complaining, are you thinking about how God can work in that situation? No. No, you're not. And I'm not either, which is why I was repenting like every 5 or 10 minutes when I was writing this. When we start complaining we stop thinking about the Lord. We stop looking to the Lord. We stop trusting the Lord. Because we're complaining because we feel like, and we're basically voicing that whatever this particular situation is, it can never be undone. It's always going to be like this. And shame on us for thinking that. Shame on us for thinking that whatever this situation may be, whatever this circumstance may be, God could never, ever, ever work in it at all. Shame on us for thinking that the grace of God is insufficient. Because that is what Israel did time and time and time again. And church, it is what we do time and time and time again. We stop looking to the Lord. We stop looking to the goodness and the grace of God. And we start thinking and we start believing. We start actually living like the grace of God is insufficient for our life. So the question today is very simple, church. Are you a complainer? And yes, I can ask you that, because I asked myself that many times, and I won't tell you what the answer was most of the time. Are you a complainer? Do you complain against the Lord? And yes, I say against the Lord, because all complaining is against the Lord. Don't try to rationalize it and justify it by saying, well, I'm not really complaining against God. God's good. I'm just complaining about this right here. I'm sorry, is that thing right there somehow outside of God's purview? Is that thing right there somehow outside of God's power, outside of his influence, outside of his grace? It's not. Are you a complainer? Are you choosing to complain about life? Are you choosing to complain about family, work, situations, big things, little things, everything in between? Are you choosing to complain, or are you choosing to live in gratitude, to live in thanksgiving, because the grace of God is never ending? The grace of God is never ceasing. The grace of God is greater than all things. There is nothing that is greater than God's grace. There's nothing that can take away God's grace. So, church, stop giving so much power to things that are temporary. Stop giving so much power to those things that you're complaining about. Instead, take that first step today, put it aside. Say, Lord, this is what's going on, but I know that you're good. I know that you're strong. I know that you're powerful. I know that you're working. I know that your grace is sufficient for everything. So thank you for your grace. And amazingly, what you'll end up finding as you continue to go to the Lord in gratitude rather than to complain, you'll find that the things that you're complaining about really aren't that big to begin with. Because God's grace is so much greater, so much bigger, and so much more welcoming than anything else. So the altar is open for us today, church. However the Lord is moving, however he is speaking to you, maybe you've been living in that complaintive spirit. You can choose to stop. You must choose to stop. Choose gratitude. Don't choose complaining. Choose gratitude. Choose God's grace. And let that grace flow freely. Let that grace be sufficient for you and for your life. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. And God, your word is so challenging. Because the truth is, so many of us, we enjoy complaining. We like to be able to complain about things that we don't like, things that are frustrating. We like to be able to complain about it. But Lord, may our desire to live for you. May our desire to honor you outweigh any fleshly desire to live in sin. Father, may your grace flow free. May we choose your grace. May we choose to celebrate and to live each and every day in your grace that is never ending, that is sufficient for all things. So would you speak to hearts and to minds this morning? May we respond to you, respond to your Spirit as you would lead us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.